The word angel occurs over 250 times in the Word of God. When God initiates a new day, when He inaugurates a new season, or brings forth a new order, there will always be angelic activity, and many times angels come to announce that new day or that new order. One sign of an outpouring of God's Spirit, one sign of revival and restoration will be when they are testimonies of angelic activity from the people of God. Some years ago, there was a lady that came to our service. God was moving in the church where Beth and I were pastoring, and in wonderful spirit of revival, people were being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and God was moving powerfully. And I remember there was a young lady that came on a Sunday night in a Sunday night service, and we prayed for her in the altar that night, and she fell out under the power and was overcome by the power of God, and for many hours, several hours, laid there under the power of God. And we just went on with the service and ministered in the service. And finally, later in that evening, they came and they shared with me. She was married and hadn't been married very long, and her husband and she had gone shopping to a Kmart. And when they came out, he had some type of massive coronary right in the parking lot and fell and was just dead when she caught him in her arms, and there was nothing that could be done to revive him. Now think about the heartache and the difficulty that this young lady was walking through. And that night in that service, the Lord came and touched her supernaturally and ministered to her. And this was her testimony. That church was built kind of in a round shape. And on the sides there was a balcony, and there were landings, stairs that would come down. There was a landing and then other stairs that would come down into the sanctuary so those who were in the balcony could access the altar. As she laid there, she had a glimpse, and she saw angels going up and down those balcony rails and up and down those stairs, and she saw angelic activity taking place in that church. That was not an isolated thing, because there was another gentleman that was there, and he wasn't a man that was given to that kind of thing. And he told me one night in service, I mean, the Spirit of God was moving very powerfully, that on those same balcony steps that he saw angels ascending and descending those steps. Some years ago, maybe about a year ago, we were having a youth revival here at South Greenwood, and Joel and Gina Talley were coming that night to preach, and I remember Joel was running just a few minutes late, and so we had started the worship that night, and the Spirit of God just moved unusually in here, just a powerful move. You knew from the first moment that God was going to do something unique and something special in the service. And I remember as we were worshiping, the young people just got up from their seats and started streaming down to the front, to the altar. And I just turned the mic over to the evangelist and I said, just do whatever you feel led to do. I don't think he ever had a proper introduction. I think we just set out to praying for people and ministering to people. And two and a half hours later, God had just wrecked this place totally. And no preaching, just tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit that day. Well, Mark came to me later, and he told me, he said, when the first young person walked down to the altar, he said, I was standing back here, and I saw an angel come out and stand right there at the edge of that choir, like a big warring angel. And he said another one came, and they were very tall, and stood at this side. And by that time, all the young people started flowing to that altar. They were angels in this room. What is the purpose of that? Why does God send angels? Well, I think they are what we call watcher angels. They watch over God's word to perform it. I believe they're warrior angels. They come to do battle and to war with us in the spirit to overcome the enemy. If you read the book of Daniel for 21 days battled, and God sent Michael, sent an angel, and it said the prince of Persia had withheld them for 21 days. So God uses angels in his kingdom administration. I don't see angels very often. There are times when the Lord will say something. I'm not a person that sees, I hear. And the Lord will say to me a specific thing, and I'll know in my heart and in my spirit that God is doing something, but I'm not one that sees a lot of things. So if you say, Pastor, have you seen a lot of angels? No, I haven't seen a lot of angels. But when people come to me and tell me those things many times, I believe them. I don't have a problem believing that God shows himself to others in that way. My dad in 2005, he had colon cancer. He'd battled it for 5 years. He was in the hospice house there in Anderson. He'd been in the house, this was January, he had been there since September. They'd given him to die several times, but he had such a strong will to live that he hung in there. But we knew this was going to be the time that he would go home. As a matter of fact, I came in from Maryland, where we were living at the time, and I prayed with him on a Sunday, and I think this was Wednesday morning, and I just released him. I said, "Lord, I just release him to you." And I told him, I said, "It's all right. It's all right. You can go home. You're ready. You can go home. We've fought, we've battled, we've warred, we've believed. We've reached a point where you're worn out, you're tired, so I'm just going to release you." So I released him myself. I think others in the family. And I remember being there that night, most of the night, and that morning, as we knew the time was drawing for his departure to heaven, we gathered around his bedside. We started singing, and I started singing that song, "What a day this will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace." And we just began to worship at his bedside, and all of a sudden there was like this wind that came in. And in that moment, my dad drew his last breath. He inhaled here and exhaled in glory. And the presence of God settled in that room. And my brother, he said, "Did you see that?" I said, "See what?" He said, "An angel came. There was an angel in this room." Are angels real? Do they exist? Yes, they do. Many times when you feel and know that God's presence is near, I want to tell you that there are angels that are nearby. The word angel occurs 250 times in the Bible. One source I read said 300 if you add the word angels, over 300 times. Angels were very involved in the earthly ministry of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Angels announced his birth in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. Angels told Joseph to take Mary as his wife in Matthew 1, 20. An angel warned wise men not to return to Herod in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. An angel warned Joseph to flee to Egypt in Matthew 2, 13. Angels ministered to Christ after his temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. An angel brought healing at the pool of Bethesda in John 5, 4. Angels ministered to Christ in Gethsemane at Luke 22, 43. Angels were present at the resurrection in Luke 24, 4, and angels announced that Jesus would return again in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. The subject of angels is a fascinating study in the Word of God. The word angel comes from a Hebrew word and a Greek word, and both of these words mean messenger. And depending on the context, these words can indicate either a human messenger or a supernatural heavenly being that we call angels. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said an angel is a spiritual creature created by God without a body for the service of Christendom and of the church. Billy Graham says angels belong to a uniquely different dimension of creation that we, limited by to the natural order, can scarcely comprehend. In this angelic domain, the limitations are different from those God has imposed on our natural order. He has given angels higher knowledge, power, and nobility than we. They are God's messengers whose chief business is to carry out his orders in the world. He's given them an ambassadorial charge. He has designated and empowered them as holy deputies to perform works of righteousness. In this way, they assist as their creator while he sovereignly controls the universe. So he has given them the capacity to bring his holy enterprises to a successful conclusion. There are 104 recorded angelic encounters in the scriptures. The book of Revelation records the largest number of encounters. The apostle John and others watched, listened to, or interacted with angels 52 times. No two of these encounters are identical. Perry Stone writes in his books, Angels on Assignment, that there's several interesting facts about angels found throughout the scriptures. Let me give you a couple of these. Number one, angels need no rest. Revelation 4:8. Angels can be visible and invisible. Numbers 22:22. Hebrews 13:2. Angels can descend to earth and ascend to heaven. You remember Jacob laid his head on a pillow, a rock, in a place called Luz, and he renamed it Bethel. I like that name, Bethel, amen. And he renamed it Bethel, which meant the house of God, the dwelling place of God. And he saw the heavens open. He saw a portal in the heavens. And when that heaven opened and that portal was opened, he saw angels ascending and descending from heaven. So they can descend to earth and ascend to heaven. Angels have a language of their own, 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Angels are innumerable. Hebrews 12, 22. Angels wear white garments, John 20, verse 12. Angels eat food called manna, Psalm 78, 25. Angels can appear in human forms at times, according to Hebrews 13, verse 2. The Bible says we need to beware lest we entertain angels unaware. We learn in our text in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, that Jesus, who is called the angel of the Lord or the angel of Jehovah in the Old Testament. Anytime you see that phrase, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament or the angel of Jehovah in the Old Testament, many people believe, and most scholars and I believe, that it's talking about a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible said Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, we believe that this is Jesus in Bethlehem, this is a pre-Bethlehem manifestation, or when he comes in the form of the angel of the Lord. And here, Joshua has an encounter with this angel of the Lord, this captain of the Lord's host, this commander of the Lord's army. This host, the Lord's army, are warrior angels. You remember Jesus, when they said if he's the Son of God, he said I could call for 12 legions of angels. That was the Lord's army. He was the commander or the captain of that army. Dr. Tim Sheets writes, he said, the Lord's host are a mass of angelic beings. This scripture makes it clear that there's a very real and organized angelic army. What is the ministry of angels? How do angels interact with humanity? This morning, I just want to give you three things concerning the ministry of God's angel armies. First of all, angels are ministers. They are ministers. The word minister there is a Greek word that means servant. When you're a minister, you're a servant. You're a servant to those that God calls you to minister to. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? In this passage of Scripture, the Scriptures clearly teach that angels minister to those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1:14 from the New Living Translation says it this way, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Angels are assigned by God to assist the heirs of salvation. Who are the heirs of salvation? You and I are the heirs of salvation. We have an inheritance. What is our inheritance? Jesus is our inheritance. Hallelujah. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Bible is very clear, though, about the worship of angels. And angels are sent to minister and to help you as a child of God. But you are to never, ever, ever worship an angel. Angels are created beings. They serve God like we do, and we are to consider them as our fellow servants assigned by God to assist us. As a matter of fact, they look at us and they marvel because they see the power of redemption in our life. The Apostle Paul writes these words concerning the worship of angels in Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels. Intruding into those things which we have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. In Revelation 19:10, the Apostle John fell at the feet of an angel who was releasing revelation, and the angel immediately stopped him. Look at the words of Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There are numerous examples of angels ministering to the people of God in the pages of Scripture. Terry Law writes, he said, angelic visits always had a purpose. They brought people closer to God and his plan for them. Abram, who later became Abraham, was promised an heir. His wife, Sarah, was barren, unable to conceive. And like many of us do at times when we have a promise, they took matters into their own hand and they got ahead of God. I want to caution you that we must always understand God's timing concerning his promises. Custom of the time was to give a wife's maidservant to the husband to bear a child when the wife was unable to conceive. So Sarah come up with this idea in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 through 6. And she gave Hagar, who was an Egyptian, a slave in their household, to Abraham. And through that union, they produced Ishmael, a son. Let's read the scripture there. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Hagar was mistreated by Sarah when she became pregnant. And verse 6 said, so Abram said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand, do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So Hagar ran away, but an angel of the Lord met her at a fountain and told her to return to Sarah. Now wait a minute, God sent her back to the place where she was mistreated? I thought God always sent us to a better place. God had a purpose in what he was doing to process something in her life. So many times God does not deliver us out of that place where we find it hard and difficult, but he reveals himself in that place as the God who is able to make all grace abound toward us. He told her, he said, you return to Sarah. And then he gives her this promise in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His sin shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Ishmael was 15 years old when Isaac was born, and again Hagar had to flee into the wilderness with her son. And when their water was gone, they lay down under some bushes in the wilderness, expecting to die. But in the midst of their difficulty, in the moment of their great desperation, an angel again appeared to her and showed her a well of water. Then Abraham's son, Isaac, needed a wife. Abraham sent his servant, Eliezer, said, go back to the place that I came from to find a son for my wife. And look at what happened in Genesis 24:7. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angels before you, and you shall take a wife from my son. For my son from there. And if you remember, there was divine intervention and he found Rebecca. But listen to what he said. The angels shall go before you. Angels are ministers that minister to the heirs of salvation. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 through 8, an angel built a fire, prepared a cake, and gave Elijah a jar of water. You remember Elijah had taken on the prophets of Baal. He had run from Ahab. The angel came and baked him a cake. He baked him a cake, gave him a jar of water, and the food sustained him for 40 days and nights. In Matthew 4:11, we learned that angels came and ministered to our Lord after his temptation. In Matthew 4:11, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In Luke 22:41-44, Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the most beautiful places that Beth and I visited when we were in Jerusalem was the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was there in the garden that Jesus knelt down and prayed in Luke 22:41-44. Verse 42 said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. An angel came and strengthened Jesus in that moment. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. But I want you to note, secondly, that angels are messengers. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so you may unwittingly entertain angels. God uses angels to deliver divine messages. There's an angelic announcement in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. A priest by the name of Zechariah met an angel as he was ministering the altar of incense in the temple. As he was going about his daily routine, an angel came and encountered him. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. In Luke chapter 1, verse 19, he identifies himself as Gabriel. I want you to listen to the words of the angel in Luke 1, 19 and 20. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be made mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in your own time. Now listen, here's a man in the priesthood who knows the Torah, who knows the word, who's a teacher and a minister to the people. And he's in the midst of doing his ministry, performing his duties. And Gabriel comes in the midst of that and tells him, your wife who's been barren is going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name John. He's going to make a way and prepare the way for the Messiah. And he's going to turn the hearts of the children to the father and the hearts of the father to the children. And he will come in the spirit of Elijah. And the first thing out of Zechariah's mouth was, be unto me as you have spoken. No, he said, he had doubt. How can these things be? And Gabriel reveals who he is to him. I am Gabriel. And because you didn't believe, you're going to be mute. You will not speak until the baby's born. Now, why did Zechariah respond in that way? I believe he was overcome by the glory of that moment. Everywhere you see angels in the Bible, usually people, the first thing the angel says is, fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Why? If an angel shows up at your house with the glory of God, you're probably not going to put them in the back seat of your car and take them to see the Christmas lights. Like Zechariah and others, we will be overwhelmed by their presence. Gabriel is one of two archangels who are mentioned by name in the scriptures. There's really only four that are mentioned. Two are fallen. You have Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, who many believe was one of the chief angels, the archangels, and Apollyon in the book of Revelation, who is released in the book of Revelation. Some believe Michael is the only one mentioned as an archangel, because the name Gabriel is derived really from a root word meaning strength or chief. He's also considered by others to be an archangel. The name Gabriel literally means mighty man of God. Michael, it means who is like the Lord or who is like God. Michael is a strong fighting prince who has numerous angels under his command. And Michael is always linked to Israel. I heard Perry Stone say that there are probably more angels in Israel than anywhere else. Jerusalem's an important place, and there's always strife and war over Jerusalem because Jerusalem is a portal. It's a place that's recognized. And God chose that little corner of the world, that little place, and that out-of-the-way place in the world to place his name. And Michael is always linked with Israel. It was Michael that disputed over the body of Moses with the enemy, with the devil in Jude. Gabriel is called the angel of God's presence in Luke chapter 1 verse 19. And he's linked to bringing forth divine revelation, such as an interpretation of prophetic visions or dreams. Gabriel was the angel who was commanded to make Daniel understand the strange visions of the future that he was receiving in Daniel chapter 8 verse 16 and Daniel chapter 9 verse 21. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." God used Gabriel, the same angel, to announce the birth of his Messiah. Angels are messengers. There are many other instances of angels as divine messengers. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20, angels came and announced the birth of Christ to shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night. When I was in Israel, I visited that place. There's two places there. One is a Catholic site, the other is the Orthodox site that's believed that either could be the place where the shepherds were keeping watch over their field by night. The Orthodox site to me seemed to be the place more realistically because it was also the place where Ruth had gleaned in Boaz's field. It was the place where Jacob had watched over his shepherds. It was there in those strategic places that God visited and revisited. And it was there that shepherds, those watching, keeping on the night shift, those blue-collar workers, those that were despised by much of the political class, were keeping their flocks by night, that angels came and appeared to them and announced the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Angels were involved as divine messengers. But thirdly, angels are magnificent warriors. Angels are magnificent warriors. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Psalms 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. People says, "Pastor, do you have a guardian angel? Do I have a guardian angel?" You probably have more than one guardian angel. When Beth and I were, I think we were just engaged, getting ready to be married. We were involved in ministry. We were youth pastors at that time, and we'd been to some type of ministry event. And it was winter time. I remember it being dark early, and we were driving home, or I was taking her home that night. And I remember we both started feeling troubled in our spirit. We might have first been married, or just engaged, getting ready to get married. And we were driving home from church that night, and we both got really troubled in our spirit. We just felt like something was wrong, something was up, just an overwhelming heaviness that came. So we just started praying and interceding, Lord, what's going on? What is this? And we prayed, and we just asked the Lord to show us. And as we were praying and we were driving, we turned to go down to where her mother lives. It's a kind of a shortcut. It's called Pine Top Road. And we turned to go down that road. And as we went down that road, around the curb came a car. And this car is in our lane on this side, coming head on at us. And I looked up and I knew immediately that's what we were experiencing. That's what we had felt. And how that car moved from this lane to this lane, I'll never be able to tell you, except I saw a hand reach into that car and turn that steering wheel. And that car missed us. Immediately, that burden lifted and the presence of God filled that car. What was that? I believe God sent an angel and spared our lives to keep us from being taken out by the enemy before we started our ministry. Probably being around the room today, you could tell of opportunities where angels were with you. And you may not have known, you may not have seen them, but they were there. They protected you. They kept you. They watched over you. When we get to heaven and God opens the books, we're going to be surprised at all the plans the enemy had. Man, he had all kinds of detailed plans. He had assigned demons. He had assigned his imps. He had assigned his army to come and take you out because of the threat that you would be to the kingdom of God. But God said no, and he X'd out that Satan's plan. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll just dispatch some angels in that case, and those angels will watch over and protect them and keep them. God keeps and protects us. Angels protect the children of the Most High God. They are magnificent warriors. And throughout the scriptures, we learn of the duties of angels. In Revelation 21:12, they guard gates. In Genesis 3:24, they guard the tree of life. In Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2, they guard the bottomless pit. In Luke 16:22, they bring the righteous to paradise at death. When someone dies, the angels of God come in that room and escort them into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They execute judgment on the unrighteous, according to Revelation 15, 1 through 6. They assisted in giving the law to Moses in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. They separate the good from the bad at judgment in Matthew 13, verse 39 through 41. And they will gather the elect after the tribulation in Matthew 24, 31. Angels are magnificent warriors. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands, and one night hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed during the terror-filled night that God would deliver them, and when daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ, and remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. And the chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said that he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. God will dispatch angels, mighty warrior angels, on your behalf as his children. It's a part of his plan. And angels are ministers. They are servants, and they are a part of the administration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.